Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thank God it's St. Paddy's Day Friday, Dom, where Friday converges with a drinking holiday. You must be in bliss.
I am in bliss. Happy St. Paddy's Day to you, Evan, of course, our fair audience, and also happy birthday to young Isabella, 18 years old, able to vote, can't wait for April. Happy birthday, Iz.
Happy birthday, Miss Isabella. I feel like she was the coolest little St. Paddy's Patrick ever. Tiny. Tiny.
She was. 4 pounds, 8 ounces when she was born. She was a tiny, tiny, oh, tiny NIC unit for like 12 days. Yeah.
I remember. Tiny. I recall, Dom. Yeah. I was there. I saw her at the hospital just a few days in. Anyways, congratulations, young lady. Also, I should acknowledge my partner's birthday. Suck up to the boss, Sage Weil. Happy birthday, fella.
Oh, no kidding. Happy birthday, Sage. Also a St. Paddy's Day baby.
Another one of those. Dom, what is you, in my opinion, closest to living the life of Quinn of any man I've ever met? The life of Riley, that is. But anyways, Dom, what's the best way to celebrate St. Paddy's Day?
For me, today, I think today was the best way. I caught the first half of the Marquette NCAA tournament game with my buddy Kuchka. I had a couple Guinnesses. And perhaps later, after the show, some Tullamore Dew, man, a little Tully. I mean, that seems appropriate.
By the way, Marquette won victorious over Vermont, 78-61. Moving on to play Tom Izzo in Michigan State.
Uh-oh, that's going to be a tough one.
Now, Joe Biden's got him in the Final Four.
Has Marquette or who?
Marquette in the Final Four.
Does he? Okay.
I've got them losing to Michigan State.
All right. Well, you both can't be right, Crudy.
Well, you can tune in right here on Civic Media, WIRI. And welcome to all our Bull Falls radio listeners, WXEO. They're just joining the Devil's Advocates immediately following the live broadcast of Marquette University basketball. Welcome, Wausau listeners. 844-967-2789. Of course, it involves some corned beef and some cabbage, maybe a Reuben. Don't know how you throw it together, but it's got to have some corned beef. Unless you're Roman Catholic, of course, because it's Friday and it's Lent.
No. I saw a headline somewhere that some bishop somewhere said, no, it's okay. You can do it today.
Yes.
And then you have to abstain like another day. See. So isn't it nice?
Does it have to be tomorrow? Because
your hardcore religious fervent faith can just be dismissed at the wave of a hand of a bishop and you could catch it up later. That's just so convenient.
Well, if it's about corned beef and cabbage, Dom, I think it's setting aside one's faith for good reason. I mean, the corned beef. How often does Mama make the corned beef?
So good. So good.
So anyways, I hope Mama's making some corned beef.
Yeah, right?
I think it always includes a little corned beef and some politics and the Devil's Advocates and, of course, your phone calls. Fridays, normally we air the grievances, Dom, and there's some breaking news here out of our backyard. You know, I am something of a homer. So let's start with the local politics, Dom. The venerable Secretary of State, the first name in Wisconsin politics, our pal, Doug LaFollette, he's out. He's out immediately. He's out. Former Secretary of State, Doug LaFollette. Did you see this one coming today, Dom?
No, I did not.
And furthermore, he's already been replaced. Governor Tony Evers, and I didn't even realize this is how it worked, Doug La Follette, obviously just won re-election over Amy Laudenbach. And one wondered at 84 why Doug felt it was necessary to continue to hold that space. But of course, it was about holding the office of the Secretary of State.
82.
My bad, Doug.
Yeah.
Holding the office away from the malfeasance, the intended malfeasance of Republicans. Because if they got it, they were going to wade into presidential electoral politics. And I was a little irked when somebody primaried my boy Doug La Follette. Don't mess with Doug. It's his job as long as he wants it.
Well, he's still got to win an election, but yes. But he just won an election.
Now he doesn't want it.
now he's done.
So, Dom, that begs a couple of questions. You asked me a question before we even went on the air. What was the question you asked me, Dom?
Well, after I saw the headline here, the reporting, Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the first thing I questioned was, well, Doug La Follette, he's retiring, and he's appointed Sarah Godlewski. My first
thought Evers
was,
appointed Godlewski.
Yeah, yes, Evers did. When was that deal cut?
Before today.
And does it even matter?
You know, I feel like they threw this news out there. Sarah Godlewski, she often wears green, I feel like, sort of cast herself as something of a Irish character. You know, is this just like a good news Friday news dumpy kind of thing? Oh, Doug La Follette's out and Godlewski's in. And you ask the question, when was that deal cut? It does feel like something of a backroom deal, doesn't it? Another question. Am I satisfied with the outcome? Yeah, absolutely.
Hell yes.
Sarah Godlewski, one of our favorites, Dom. I bemoan the fact that she got out of the U.S. Senate race because Godlewski, I've always said, she's got it. Whatever it is, that charisma, that charm that certain people have that lights up a room, she's got it. And when we were at the Jade Monkey, one of Hawk's finer neighborhood bars right here on the east side of Madison, we did a live event. And Sarah Godlewski met us there, and Chris Larson did as well. Senator Chris Larson, then U.S. Senate candidate Chris Larson. And Larson did a fine interview. Thoughtful guy. We know him well. And we interviewed him at the table. And there were lots of friends of the devils. Lots of devil's advocates friends sitting there at the chairs on the lounge. You know, the grotto style out there at the Jade Monkey. And then it was Godlewski's turn. And she lit up the crowd. And she didn't turn towards us, Dom. You know, I can understand why. But she turned outwards toward the crowd.
Engaging, yes.
She was so engaging. She brought the crowd. It, you know, she wasn't answering our questions. She was talking to future constituents. And she had already won statewide election. She obviously had shown the value of the office of the treasurer. And perhaps Sarah now will restore some of the value of the office of the Secretary of State. It's been greatly diminished under Republican rule because our boy Doug La Follette kept winning election. When Scott Walker won the recall, Doug La Follette was still the Secretary of State. He was still winning. Well, congratulations to Sarah Godlewski. I'd point out, I did text, didn't even know what to call her. Madam Secretary of State Godlewski.
How about Sarah?
Sarah. Well, I could have called her Sarah. She might have been more responsive, but I did invite her on the Devil's Advocates today because we found out just, what, an hour ago. And also, Doug La Follette. He has likewise been personally invited. I didn't text Doug. You know, voicemail for Doug. Old school.
The flip phone, not great for texting.
You know, I just thought I'd be respectful, and I'd invite them both on the show, and we'll see. You know, 844-967-2789. Sarah, Doug, either one. Join us if you choose. But I just, you know, I watched a Beautiful Mind movie one too many times, maybe, Dom. And sometimes, you know, the insanity of the man, but the beauty of the intelligence, the
great graphics. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, what was it a pre-done deal? I mean, I don't know. Does it even matter? A little bit here from the reporting, Journal Sentinel Molly Beck. Serving the
people of Wisconsin. Let's just say, in the words of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, I'm suspicious.
Serving the people of Wisconsin as Secretary of State has been the honor of my lifetime, La Follette said in an undated resignation letter to Governor Tony Evers. After many years of frustration, I've decided I don't want to spend... After many years of frustration, I don't want to spend the next 3.5 years trying to run an office without adequate resources and staffing levels. After decades of public service, I must now focus on my personal needs. Now, he, as mentioned, he ran and won against a defeated Republican Amy Loudenbeck, a Republican from Clinton, Wisconsin, by 7,442 votes. Crudy, 0.29 of a percentage point. 29 basis points. That's a pretty close race. And as you can imagine, Loudenbeck, she's not too happy. Molly Beck reports that Loudenbeck blasted the timing of La Follette's resignation and accused Evers of conspiring with La Follette and Godlewski. Here's her quote. The 1.26 million people who voted for me during the November 2022 election should be outraged at the news that Secretary of State Doug La Follette has stepped down just 3 months after being sworn in for yet another term after 40 years of doing nothing in that office.
Oh,
damn.
Very respectful to the retiring Doug La Follette, but please continue.
In fact, the people who voted for La Follette thinking he would fulfill his promised obligation should also be upset with the new that the new Secretary of State has been appointed by Governor Evers and not chosen by the voters, unless that was the idea all along. Loudenbeck said that although the appointment is legal, quote, this move coming so soon after the election raises questions once again about the tactics used by those in power who will do anything to keep that power. Well, that's very interesting. I went back to a May 1st, 2022 article from NBCNews.com, and they talk about the election coming up at the time. Loudenbeck, a state assemblywoman who represents Southern Wisconsin, sent an email that the Wisconsin Election Commission was broken and that many election-related duties should be transferred in whole or part to the office of the Secretary of State. She wrote that Biden was the certified winner, but she also said, I am committed to doing whatever I can to help resolve all the issues raised by various audits and investigations so that we feel confident in any election result. Ms. Loudenbeck, there were no audits that showed anything. Your judgment was terrible or you were fooled. Either way, I'm so glad you are not the Secretary of State. Congratulations to our friend, Sarah Godley. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Coming right back, 844-967-2789.
By any means necessary.
What did you guys do? Take it and do something crazy to it?
No, they didn't.
We get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Air your grievances at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I don't know much, but the Dropkick Murphys literally hate Scott Walker, and that's why we love him so around here. We love you, our fair audience, as well, 844-967-2789. And if you're looking for plans this St. Paddy's Day weekend, consider joining yours truly, Crudy, and Earl Ingram, and James Santel at the Wisconsin Grassroots Network. It's going to be right down the road here, Wisconsin Heights High School. I believe registration opens around 8:30. First speaker, and I hear he's a good one, but 9 o'clock in the morning, we will live broadcast Morning Cannolis with our pal James Santel, former U.S. attorney, most importantly, friend of ours. He'll do the 9 to 11 shift, and then Earl Ingram. Earl, our pal, will be live broadcasting as only he can, 11 to 12. I may even sneak in for an interview then. And then a breakout session being hosted by Civic Media. So nice. It's going to be a full day of, you know, democracy and other great topics at the Wisconsin Grassroots Network. Hope to see you there. Wisco Paul, what's the best way to celebrate St. Paddy's Day, fella? Hey, same Wisco way you celebrate every Friday with the spotted right. cow, right?
Hey, not green beer, but I tell you what, I am IBM, Irish by marriage, so I get to legally celebrate St. Paddy's Day. It will be spotted cow. So, yeah, it's a cool day for me. Hey, I wanted to quick touch bases on Sarah. I met her with Trudy and Dom up at the Oshkosh 2018. Probably the best speaker up there that day. Maybe Glenn Moore was a close second, but Sarah couldn't light up the room. And then I met her at the Jade Monkey. So, you know, she's got good luck hanging out with you guys anyway. So, but that's totally awesome. And the Republicans aren't going to like it because she's just so awesome. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And but you're 100% correct, Cootie. She's got it. And, it's a happy day, and I'll probably have a couple, three more spotted cows.
Paul, love the outcome of this.
Really good news.
Paul, love the outcome of this news story. Does it make you cringe at all to consider that maybe this was a backroom deal? Maybe Doug had already told Tony Evers, the governor is the effectively head of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin, said, hey, Tony, you know, I'm done. Well, we got to hold this real estate because the Republicans want to give power to the Secretary of State, but only if you lose. If Loudonback wins, they're going to do malfeasant things with this office. Doug, you got the first name in Wisconsin politics. You got to run. So Doug says, yes, I'll do it, but I'm going to retire as soon as I win. And Tony says, good, because, you know, I got this friend who got out of the way for Mandela Barnes in the U.S. Senate race, and she would make an excellent fill-in. Could you see that conversation having taken place?
Well, you lay out a good case there, but I don't think so. And even if it did,
the case is simply for good judgment. I mean, it worked to effect. And as Loudonback pointed out, nothing illegal about this transaction, quote unquote. This, even if Crudy's conspiracy is right, there's nothing wrong with it. It just makes
Crudy
me cringe
and
a little.
What's her name? Loudermilk?
Loudonback.
Loudonback. She also had the same theory. And I guess I would say, Wisco, and thanks for the call, man. Happy Friday. So what? Yes. Okay, great. If that was the discussion, okay, let's think about this for a minute. I don't hear Ms. Loudonback talking about, I don't know, retired state senator Alberta Darling. Now, she ran and won in 2020. And then she, resigned and stepped down after the midterms in December, not before.
And they could have held a timely special election in conjunction with the gubernatorial race and the U.S. Senate race.
You could have done that, but she didn't. And it's not like there's a whole lot of work getting done in the state of Wisconsin last year during the election cycle. You know what I mean? So really, was it okay for Alberta Darling to do basically the same thing, although on a different timeline, certainly, but it's the same thing? She left before the end of her term, way before the end of her term. So,
well,
there you go.
So did Prosser and Gableman, did they not? Didn't they both, I forget precisely how the math worked out, but didn't even Gableman retire briefly before his term was over?
I don't recall specifically how that went down.
Yeah, I don't know why I look to you for any memories.
your Google broke, man. 844-967-2789. But at the end of the day, I'm with you, Curry. Great on the outcome. Godlewski is a capable human being. She'll do fine in the role. And thankfully, it wasn't some crazy-ass mega. Because that's what, these people, they lost their credibility. When I read that quote from MNBC from May of 2022, she was like, oh, yeah, we got to yes, President Biden won. Yes, it's fine, but we need to restore it. We need to give the Secretary of State some voter abilities to affect the outcome of the election. And I'm the person to do it. And we need to solve the problem of the crisis of confidence in our voting system. Well, listen, you guys created that out of whole cloth. It was a lie. It was a lie on Fox News and they were saying it. It was a lie when Trump was saying it. That is now known to be fact. And I don't see any retraction from you when you're bitching about the fact that Evers appointed Godlewski. Do you still believe that? Do you still believe that there's problems with the election? Or was it all bunk and made up and you either bought into it or you were part of it? And either way, you are not qualified to hold any office, let alone the Secretary of State.
Okay, so is this as the founders would have intended? that you win re-election and then effectively retire and allow someone else to seat for you. While it's legal, it may not feel like exactly as it should be. And I've seen so many Republicans, here's my only point. I've seen so many Republicans, if it ain't nailed down, steal it, right? By any means necessary. Well, if I got to reconcile, if I got to look for a silver lining in this news today, at least the Democrats are learning how to bare knuckle brawl, right? Stings a little when it goes the other way. Imagine how they're going to feel when Dan Kelly is defeated on April 4th.
I cannot wait.
Come back with us. Let's talk about that fella, that Dan Kelly. I wonder if he's Irish. Happy St. Paddy's Day, unless you're Dan Kelly, in which case I hope you lose. 844-967-2789. Call us. You'll be a winner.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the St. Patrick's Day edition. You are welcome to join us. Partiers, always welcome around here at 844-96-PARTY. We got the party line. It's open for you. And I see you, Hassel. You hold tight. We'll get to you. But Dom, I got a little headline here. I'm going to cast a crudy spin on it. The Wisconsin Supreme Court race will crush MAGA's 2024 dreams. Greg Sargent, the Washington Post, in an opinion piece, they cast it similarly, but I'm going to tell you why I cast it this way. Wisconsin looms large in the MAGA transformation of American politics. Of the three blue wall states that Donald Trump flipped in 16, Wisconsin was the toughest for Democrats to take back in 2020. Winning there, more than Michigan or Pennsylvania, is the most likely starting point for Trump or another MAGA presidential candidate to assemble an electoral majority in 2024. And that's why a race for Wisconsin State Supreme Court, Election Day is April 4th, everybody, has extraordinarily high stakes. A Democratic win would deal a big blow to MAGA's movement's 2024 hopes, underscoring its dramatically... Repeat that word, Dom. Dramatically weakened hold on the must-win territory once dominated by Trump. Man, I wonder what changed. I'm just saying you're welcome, people. You are what changed. You are listening to us, and we're helping change it. But anyways, I read on. That outcome would give liberals a 4-3 majority on a court that could thwart any rerun of Trump's 2020 effort to overturn his loss by legal chicanery. And the conservative candidate for the court seat, Republican lawyer Daniel Kelly. You can insert boos here.
Boo. Boo, husbiz.
Has sterling MAGA credentials, Dom.
MAGA.
MAGA, M-A-G-A, MAGA. He was reportedly involved in discussions about the fake electors, the criminal conspiracy, Crudy would allege, scheme to overturn Trump's loss in the state. And last year, he helped lead the election integrity, and that's definitely an air quotes, event that suggested the state's 2020 voting was suspect. He's quite suspect.
Crudy, Greg Sargent at the Washington Post continues. In private polls, Kelly is trailing the liberal candidate, Milwaukee County Judge Jenna Protasiewicz. And Democrats are outspending Republicans in the race. A liberal court could overturn a state abortion ban, so Democratic ads are highlighting Kelly's support for the anti-choice groups, hoping abortion can deliver another win after driving many 2022 victories. But this race is also about the future prospects of MAGA on multiple levels. A loss for Kelly would effectively constitute a third strike for MAGA in the geographic heart of the movement's effort to transform U.S. politics. Trump's 2016 Rust Belt victories were driven by supercharged margins among non-college educated white voters disproportionately concentrated in that region, which hinted at a long-term MAGA-driven realignment of the electoral map. But since then, not only did Joe Biden win back Wisconsin and other blue wall states in 2020, But in 2022, Democratic Governor Tony Evers triumphed over a Trump-backed GOP candidate. While GOP Senator Ron Johnson was reelected there in 2022, Evers' clear majority win provided vivid evidence of MAGA's waning influence. A third Democratic triumph in Wisconsin would suggest the MAGA transformation is proving far less durable than its proponents hoped. Wisconsin has a slightly higher percentage of blue-collar white people than either Pennsylvania or Michigan, so another win would be a big morale booster for Democrats heading into 2024. A quote from Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler: "The whole Trump mega strategies to run up the score with rural voters and white voters without college degrees. That describes most voters in Wisconsin." What's more, Wickler added, "Mega can't win in 2024 without the Badger State." Mega partisans grasp these stakes with perfect clarity. One well-known Trumpist operative has been frantically warning that a liberal majority on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court would spell doom for election integrity, quote-unquote. That's MAGA code for saying it would complicate efforts to illicitly subvert MAGA laws in 2024.
Dom, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that seems like it bears repeating. Would you mind repeating that last sentence again?
Certainly. One Trumpster has been frantically warning that a liberal majority on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court would spell doom for election integrity, quote unquote. That's MAGA code for saying it would complicate efforts to illicitly subvert a MAGA loss in 2024. If it's true, if liberals control the court, that will be largely out of reach. To be fair, Greg Sargent writes, one of the court's current conservative justices did not side with Trump's efforts to overturn the results in 2020, notes election law expert Richard Hassan. So even a one-seat conservative majority might not do its worst. But if 2024 comes down to Wisconsin, the pressure would be intense to greenlight dubious efforts to overturn a loss, and a conservative majority joined by Kelly would be much more risky, Hassan said. A liberal court would make it much less likely that lawsuits meant to disenfranchise voters or subvert election results would get a serious hearing. To the surprise of many observers, Democrats won in 2022 by running as defenders of both abortion rights and democracy, enabling them to defeat election-denying candidates across the country. That combination proved to be kryptonite to MAGA among swing voters, including in Pennsylvania and Michigan. In addition to running ads on abortions, Democrats in Wisconsin are also putting big money behind a spot that is entirely about the threat to democracy posed by conservative domination of the state Supreme Court. A win there would once again show the potency of that joint message against MAGA candidates in particular. Yet even if Democrats prevail, it would be folly to be overly confident that MAGA's efforts to realign the region are fully extinguished. As Ronald Brownstein notes for The Atlantic, Democratic performance among non-college white people in 2020 and 2022 improved only marginally relative to 2016. So relying on educated voters alone won't keep the blue wall states in the Democratic column. But as Greg Sargent at The Post concludes, when it comes to MAGA's dreams of retaking the Rust Belt in 2024, or even of stealing the election in Wisconsin, if the GOP candidate can't win fairly, a Democratic victory in April would make those hopes a whole lot dimmer.
Let's crush their hopes.
Crush them. Crush them on the rocks.
You are a fair audience. You make the difference. Whether or not you vote, of course, you got to vote. Right? It's a really important election. You can't set this one out. But also, you got to tell people. You got to tell friends. A, listen to the Devil's Advocates. B, you know, join other fine civic media products. And C, you got to vote. You got to be educated about the issues and two big issues on the ballot. Abortion rights for women. If you think women should have zero rights, even in the case of rape or incest, that's the law in the state of Wisconsin. A pre-Civil War 1849 law is governing. And if Dan Kelly wins, if the conservative, air quotes, wins, it will continue to govern your body. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is the freaking Constitution and democracy. Dan Kelly was also a part of the effort to set aside the outcome of the election in the state of Wisconsin, willing to set aside, you know, the peaceful transfer of power and democracy in the Constitution. He's that sort of conservative. A by any means necessary sort of conservative. So you know what you got to do. You got to vote. You got to tell a friend. and you got to drag like 20 of them down to the
right
polling station on April 4th, or, you know, vote early, absentee, whatever the case may be, but vote, because democracy is worth it, and it all starts now. We are the leading edge. We are the first indicator. We are the canary in the coal mine. The whole country is watching us right now. You and I and your friends, they're watching. Do we care about women, and do we care about democracy? So let your voices be heard. 844-967-2789. Michael, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Mike.
Amen. Amen, brother. I don't know what goes down better today, my aged Irish whiskey or this Friday touche on behalf of Mr. LaFollette and Evers.
They're both pretty tasty, I got to tell you, Mike.
I got a request. Let's stop talking about the back room. Let us not forget that before Walker lost, this is how he talked about us. Quote, divide and conquer. Quote, suck lemons. Quote, they can pound sand. And then he lost. And then they locked the doors and did an overnight castration on the governor, on the attorney general, and the secretary of state. And all they wanted was a takeover so that they could merge with the corrupt Supreme Court and deny elections if it didn't go their way. And if LaFollette had not won, they'd be at it right now trying to take over in full power in advance of the 2024 election. So hats off to Mr. LaFollette and his defense of democracy. I wish him a long and healthy retirement. And may our next senator's name be Sarah.
Michael, well said. Any other thoughts? How's Annalise doing today?
She's doing well, and we're about to now swill our aged Irish whiskey in your honor.
All right, man. Well, happy St. Paddy's Day, man. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you, Michael. Best to Annalise. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. You can always join us, 844-967-2789.
Do you think that
we may even get to know your mama's name at some point?
You know, and Mike is so good at just kind of putting it out there like that. Do you think that the general electorate is putting all these pieces together? You know what I'm saying? When you talk about it, because this is national news, folks. I mean, this isn't just, you know, local news here in the state of Wisconsin. The Washington Post and national outfits have been looking at Wisconsin, writing about Wisconsin since this election's been on the horizon. This is a very big deal, not just to us, but certainly other people around the country. And when you put it in the context of course, abortion and women's rights, and then also tie to it the defense and upholding of democracy, of the Constitution, and the way that the players and the way that everything has gone down and the efforts that have been made from the gerrymandering 10 years ago to where we are now. And hell, you can go back further. You can go talk about Reagan and the influence of other Republicans from days past, the legacy Republican effect. As in some ways brought us to where we are right now. But the very specific actions of people like Lauterbach, of people like Andrew Hitt, the former Republican GOP chair here in the state of Wisconsin, folks like these congressmen that have signed their name, and folks like Dan Noda, who's running for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District, asking to put a delay on, you know, certifying the election for 10 days while we can get our hands around that. All these little parts and pieces. If you're not able to put a string through the whole thing, it may seem like, oh, just a one-off here and a one-off there. But that's the whole point. It's not. This has been a concerted effort. This is a concerted effort that involves Congress and state legislatures and you know, of course, obviously Trump's people. And now we see, and we'll get to some of the reporting of Donald Trump and his attorney, at least in the documents case, will have to testify, according to the judge in that case. So some things are starting to kind of to turn in different aspects of all these different criminal cases. But as it pertains to very specifically here in the state of Wisconsin and the effect on this election, is it safe to say that the electorate probably doesn't have their arms around how important and how close we are to losing it if we don't exercise it?
You're not woke if you don't know the name Jim Troupas. You're not woke unless you know Jim Troupas. 844-967-2789. Your calls are welcome here. We take your Friday grievances. I see the lines lighting up. Let's grab one. Charles from Green Bay. Welcome, sir. What
hey,
do you
Charles.
Got for us?
Hey, I only got a couple things to say. And one is that I'm not advocating, you know, abortion and all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, there's only one person, and that person is above us, who can judge a woman for having an abortion or not having an abortion. And the fact of the matter is, what right does, let's say, Congress, or whatever you want to call it, however you want to call it, you know, say to a woman that, you know, you can't have an abortion to save your life? But they're trying to in some cases and stuff like that. The second point is this. You brought up Reagan. Okay. Reagan, you know, his politics are, you know, sure, he got the wall taken down in Berlin. All right, big deal. What else did he do?
Well, I'm not a fan of Reagan, Charles. I don't remember bringing up Reagan except when we admonished Glenn Grothman here in the state of Wisconsin yesterday for pulling out the old Reagan Welfare Queen's playbook. There's nothing much to admire about Ronald Reagan. Fine actor? Not really. The Gipper. Win one for the Gipper. Come back. Win one for Dom.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's St. Patty's Day. Air your grievances with us.
Dom, you used to describe yourself as a fiscal conservative, social liberal. Well, I've got a topic where those two things meet. Marijuana.
Yeah, baby.
Do you know the state of Illinois, the flatland to our south, and I don't find much to like about that state except the fact that they've legalized recreational marijuana. So if I go, I partake. But Illinois collected $36 million in taxes from Wisconsinite on the purchase of marijuana. That's a lot of cabbage and corned beef too, Dom. Illinois collected $36 million, according to Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel, $36 million in tax revenue from Wisconsin residents. And that's just Diamond Crute. Purchasing marijuana in the land of Lincoln, where cannabis is legal, according to a new state estimate. Wisconsin is in the minority of states whose lawmakers have not legalized marijuana.
Boo.
In some form.
Boo.
Now, Dom, you know I was down in the land of Ron DeSantis. There is legal marijuana in freaking Florida with the medical card. Got to be a six-month resident or something, but I looked into it. Didn't work out for the short trip there. But anyways, Democratic Governor Tony Evers has proposed legalizing marijuana three times, but the Republican Judas lawmakers who control the state legislature have rejected him three times. It appeared at the start of the new legislative session that began in January that GOP legislative leaders were changing course and moving closer to creating a medical marijuana program in Wisconsin after years of opposition to the idea, but the effort quickly stalled. I blame you, Robin Voss. Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, our friend from Madison, has also unsuccessfully proposed marijuana legalization for years. I mean, we first had her on the show, I think it was 2014.
Yeah, a long time ago.
When she introduced the first legislative piece to legalize marijuana in Wisconsin. Colorado soon followed suit, Dom. They've been telling us to watch. It looks great from here.
Sure does. What are we waiting for?
Dominic, the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau shows $36.1 million is the estimate to be paid to Illinois taxes by marijuana consumers in counties bordering the Badger State. What about those that drive a little farther?
Yeah, right. No doubt. Great question.
The analysis assumes that all sales to out-of-state residents in counties bordering Wisconsin were made to Wisconsin residents, according to the memo. It should upset, here's a quote, it should upset every Wisconsinite that our hard-earned tax dollars are going across the border to Illinois. It freaking does. It bothers me, Dom. This is revenue that could be going towards Wisconsin's public schools, transportation infrastructure, and public safety. Instead, Illinois is reaping the benefits of Republican obstructionism and their prohibitionist stance on marijuana legalization. And Dom, I would point out, there's two borders. Just ask Scott Walker. He wanted to build two walls, right?
Right.
There's also a northern border with the state of Michigan, where they not only have legal marijuana, you can buy up to 2.5 ounces as an out-of-state consumer.
They have larger quantities, minimum quantities.
Five times quantities, as much.
And they have lower taxes.
Substantially.
Crudy, again, a Journal Sentinel reporting, according to the Fiscal Bureau estimate based on data from the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, revenue from sales to out-of-state residents in Wisconsin adjacent counties, again, those are the counties, accounted for about 8% of the $462 million in tax revenue Illinois received in 2022 from sales of marijuana products.
I think
$462 million. That's almost a half a billion dollars in 1 year.
That is, but here's the deal. 8% of that is Wisconsin consumers, or at least they suspect Wisconsin consumers in bordering counties. But that's just the taxation, Dom. They left some other money at the register as well for the actual purchase of the marijuana. The devil's cabbage, as they say. Anyways, it's Friday. I thought I'd bring that out.
Yes, that's a tax revenue. That's not gross revenue to the cannabis industry in the state of Illinois. That is the amount of taxes received by the state of Illinois for allowing, regulating, legalizing the cannabis industry. $462 million in tax revenue in 1 year. I mean, that's a lot of money. 8%, that's coming from us, from a few counties. Again, Crudy, good point. Other counties up north, I'm not counting when I go to Detroit. You know what I'm saying? So what does it have to be $1 billion in tax revenue a year before the state says, yeah, maybe we should do that? How about $2 billion? What's your number? Because this is ridiculous.
I can tell you, Dom, the dispensaries in Ironwood are beautiful at this time of year. Yeah. 844-967-2789. Our pal, Jake Cullen from Eureka, heart of the Golden Emerald Triangle, Humboldt, California. Jake, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. Hey, on behalf of the state of California, I would just like to apologize to the other 49 states for Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon, and for Aaron Rodgers while we're at it.
hey, that deal isn't done yet. Curdy might welcome him back to the bedroom.
Oh, gosh. I would just say it's time to move on to Jordan Love at this point, folks. Aaron, he's up there in terms of age and in terms of attitude. Let him do a year in New York, you know, like Brett Favre did. And then, you know, once the Vikings trade Kirk Cousins to the 49ers, he'll be playing in Minnesota probably just like Favre ended up playing with the Vikings.
Do you think he'll also text out junk photos to some sideline reporter in New York?
Yeah, and then he'll probably, you know, move to Mississippi and try to scam the taxpayers in Mississippi out of taxpayer dollars while he's at it too, right? You know?
Oh, terrible.
Just looking for the parallels, Jake. Any other political thoughts this fine Friday, St. Paddy's afternoon?
Well, I would say these Republicans who are opposed to even medicinal marijuana, for crying out loud, guys, even Mississippi has legal medicinal marijuana now. What is these Republicans in Wisconsin waiting for? The 21st century?
Tavern League. It's got to be the Tavern League, Jake. I mean, we're the drunkest state in the nation. We've got 12 of the 20 drunkest counties in our one singular state. I mean, this is like Alcoholic Central. You could get a DWI in our state, Jake. It's not a criminal offense. At least not the first one. So, if you wonder why we don't have legalized marijuana, it's because we're all supposed to be drunks here. I mean, that's what our politicians tell us.
You guys should have freedom of choice to be either drunk or high. You know, either one.
Or both.
Jake, why not both? I mean, why limit ourselves? Thanks for the call, Jake. Not like people aren't smoking weed already right now. Are you kidding me? We just sent $30 million to Illinois. Of course, it's already happening. Let's keep the money here.
Can I take some of that on my taxes? You know, like when you write off your personal income taxes, aren't those business expenses?
I mean, perhaps medicinal for sure.
More devils. Come back for sure-sies.